Hey, who's having a good day so far? Good. It's always good to have a good day because that means your day is full of great joy and the Lord is with you throughout the day. He's guiding you throughout the day. Even if you're having a bad day, it's still a blessing. You wake up this morning, it's a miracle because most people don't ever. Is that right? That's right. That's right. Speaking of good days and miracles, Wednesday, I celebrated 6 years without any epileptic seizures whatsoever. Yes, sir. Yep. 6 years ago, October 18th, 2017, I had my second major brain surgery. I was seizing like 150 times a day. I couldn't function at all. Covered in fear, I would never walk or talk again. Now I'm having zero seizures, and I'm standing behind this pulpit and standing behind this podium talking about Jesus with you guys. And I would not be where I am right now if it wasn't for our persistent prayers and faith in Jesus. But anyway, good to see you guys today. Good to see the Benefields come out today. The Benefields heard I was preaching today, and they felt called by the Lord to come out and support me. Good to see Jesse, Marie, Hallie, and Lacey. Also good to see Drew and my friend Drew and his wife, Faith. Am I right? Faith? Yep. Drew and I have known each other for a long time, a very long time. About 2 months ago, Drew and Faith felt called by the Lord to get married. About 2 months ago, in the month of August, they got married and they want to center their marriage around the Lord. So congrats to them. Let's get them in. Yep. I'm proud of you, Drew. Yep. All right. Dallas and Lynn are, we all know Dallas and Lynn are on vacation. They're on a cruise. So I guess I'll be the one to take his duty today. But let's go ahead and open in prayer and we'll get cracking. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much for gathering us here in your house of fellowship this morning. We give you praise and we glorify you and magnify your name for all the great things you have done so far to us. We pray for the nation of Israel and all the other crises going on around the world. Pray for the citizens who are hurt, injured, sick, all those who are going through any sort of tremendous suffering. Pray for the ones who are fighting that you let them seek you wholeheartedly. For we know that's through you they can be delivered from turmoil and chaos. And we know that's through you they can find peace. Let them, now's their time to trust in you, Lord. They need you more than anything else, and they need your will to be done. I pray for Dallas and Lynn as they travel abroad this week, that you get them peace this week and rest and comfort. Guide them throughout the week. I pray for the ones who are not here today, Lori, Adam, Chastains, and my mother. Let there be healing done on my mother and guide them throughout the week and give them wisdom. Give me wisdom as well, O Lord. I pray that you be with me as I stand on the truth of the word and not the opinion of man. Teach us to become doers of the Lord, of the word, O Father, not just hearers, doers. Let your name be kept alive and let your glory and power rush in like a flood because it is beyond beautiful than we can possibly imagine. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I need water real quick. Today's sermon is entitled Faith in the Fire. We're going to Daniel chapter 3. But real quick, before we get diving in, let's talk about our topic today. Through the process of canonicity, the books are collected through the canon of Scripture, and when the reader studies it and interprets what the passage means, he or she becomes inspired. Then they feel called to share God's message with others as they get inspired as well. And as a result of this, people use the process of application. A lot of us know what application is. The most basic definition for application that I can possibly give is that application is when the Lord lays the message on your heart and you use it as a part of your life, your everyday life. It begins by understanding the word and its timeless truths. And it puts the truth of God's word into focus. And it teaches us and motivates us to become doers of the word, not just hearers, doers. It teaches us and inspires us to do what the word says. Just like what I said in my prayer about a minute ago. This is probably why we come to church here. We come here to gather in fellowship and worship. We hear the message and get inspired by the message Dallas proclaims, and we apply it to our everyday lives. We are essential to application. But there are dangers to application that we must beware. This is why I chose the book of Daniel. Now, let's do a little recap on Daniel here. From what we all remember, Daniel was pretty high up on the totem pole. He was one of, in Babylon, he was one of Nebuchadnezzar's top dogs. He was one of the court officials, provincial court officials, whatever. But he was a rich dude. He was royal. He had royalty in his bloodline. But he and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, really were very obedient followers who submitted to and humbly served the Lord. But let's go ahead and get reading here. Again, Daniel chapter 3. Will words be on the screen behind me, Derry? Yeah, thanks. I'm reading from NIV version. We're starting verse 1 through 18. I know that's a lot. I might keep y'all a little too long. I know Dallas is pretty short. I'm not Dallas, but I'm sorry. I promise I'll get y'all out here. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide, and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. So the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before it. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "Nations and peoples of every language, this is what you are commanded to do. As soon as you hear a sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace." Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, all the nations and peoples of every language fell down and worshipped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. At this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "May the king live forever. Your majesty has issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold, and that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews who have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what god will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. That's a pretty scary time here, y'all. But another recap here on Daniel. First off, Daniel was thrown into a den of lions, and his three friends were thrown into a blazing fiery furnace, all for being believers. The book of Daniel emphasizes that a very large problem with application is that people feel pressured by society to believe what is not true. Our society gets pressured by our leaders or our teachers to follow the biblical untruths. For example, our leaders, or maybe our teachers, the world is full of them. The world is full of a bunch of false teachers out here. Now, this passage, Daniel 3, is a good example of having your faith confronted by a leader, such as a king or a president, any political leader. But another good example, illustration of having your faith denied by a teacher may be the 2014 film, God's Not Dead. Y'all know I like those movie recommendations. I don't know how many of you guys saw it. I watched that movie a couple of years ago. It was pretty good. But the film is about a devout Christian boy who really knows and loves Jesus as he starts his freshman year of college. You know, it's a huge change when you go to college. You can change to a completely different person, you know. So as the student was at his first philosophy lecture, the professor, who is, of course, a non-believer, made each one of his students write down the words, God is dead, on a sheet of paper with their signature and turn it in as a grade. And that student was sitting there like, I'm not going to write this down. I'm a Christian and my God's real. I'm sorry, but I refuse to disavow my faith. But the professor told him, well, since you think you're a lot smarter than me, nobody is. Why don't you prove to me and my whole class that God exists? Otherwise, I'm going to fail you for the whole entire semester, which no doubt I probably will. So, as the student defended his faith in the truth of God's word, the teacher gave out numerous attempts and reasons to prove that kid wrong and make him confess that God is dead. But as time passed on, the Christ followers' strong argument ultimately transformed the hearts of that student's friends and fellow classmates, even the atheist professor. That is how God handled a situation like that. He used that situation to allow everyone to repent and turn to him and renew their lives and their minds and change their spirit and allow them to follow him. At the end of that film, every student that listened to that argument stood up and said, God's not dead. And all of those characters gave their lives to Jesus. That's a remarkable story. I recommend y'all watch that movie. It's on Amazon Prime Video, and it's free again. This is an awesome illustration of what it's like to have your faith confronted by a teacher. It's also a good illustration of how Jesus can handle a situation like that. He could turn a sinner's heart around by using that situation. He entered their hearts and penetrated their hearts, renewed their spirits. Just about all of those, majority of those students there are atheists. That teacher made them confess, made them change their minds to become atheists. And at the end, they ultimately transformed themselves back into Christians, followers of Christ. That's an awesome story. This is also an example of Christian apologetics, which is the defense of the Christian faith and truths of the gospel. Now, just about all of us would be sitting here like, man, I wish that wasn't my teacher when I was in school. That includes me. I am so glad I haven't had any teachers who come up to me and force me to deny my faith and question my belief in God. I am beyond thankful for that. I'm so thankful to have had a bunch of teachers who were very considerate, effective, and empathic towards me and my classmates. Feels a lot better. One of them was my college and career leader here at Pauline Church. Yeah, I'm talking to you. And I feel a whole lot more blessed to be part of a faithful, loving church family whose obedience is very evident to the vessel of Christ. And I want to make it very clear to you guys that I love all of you so very much. And I could not have done it without y'all. If it wasn't for y'all's persistent prayers and faith in Jesus that he would heal me and turn my situation around, I would not be standing here in this pulpit. I would not be proclaiming the message of truth. I would not have celebrated 6 years of seizure freedom Wednesday night. Yep. I love you all so much, and I have no regrets being part of this church. I appreciate everything y'all have done. Love you guys. They believe that Jesus is the name above all names. Y'all know to trust him, even in our darkest hours, just like the three dudes we're talking about here. They know to show Christ's love and affection to others who surround him. And I'm pretty sure just about all of us wouldn't be where we are right now if we were not surrounded by a Christ-centered community. You know, it's always good if you have friends who follow Jesus and trust him and pray for you. It's always good. Now, just about all of us cannot imagine living in a time under the authority of a barbaric ruler like Nebuchadnezzar in a time like Babylon being forced to become a non-believer or suffer a painful, gruesome death as a punishment. Just about all of us would be like trembling in fear. We'd be living in a state of worry, fear, anger, temptation. That's no bueno. That's a big no-no. That's not good. Not good at all. Now, it's pretty clear that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego need to be confident and take courage and hold on to hope in a time like this. That's a new word today. Confidence. They knew not to fear because they know the Lord can deliver us from fear. For in the presence of the Lord, our fear is gone. Our fear cannot stand a chance when we stand in the Lord's love and presence and compassion. Now, this is clearly called being faithful and trusting the Lord amid their worst circumstances. They put their faith over their fears. Am I right? Yeah. Now, another key idea the book of Daniel points out is that we should pray to be humble and obedient followers, just like how Daniel and his three friends were. In a time like this, Daniel was a righteous follower. He was humble and obedient. He fasted and prayed 3 times a day and surrendered with a broken heart. And at times, he and his three friends even had to step down from their riches to royalty. They had to make an exception for themselves because they knew not to please everyone. They wanted to please the Lord. They wanted to please the big man up there. Also, Daniel and his three friends stood on truth and never, ever let the opinion of their rulers tear down their faith. So, in a situation like that, they knew to be confident and take courage and stay strong in their faith. And they did not let their society force them to follow their non-biblical standards. So my message to you is be confident and take courage when someone confronts and denies your own faith. And don't you ever give your hopes up. And remember that our help comes from the Lord. When you're in a situation like that, when you stand up for yourself and defend your faith, remember that the Lord will indeed deliver you. He has the battle, and he always will. I remember when I was 13, 14 years old, the doctor told me, we're going to lock you up in a cold room and put you, strap you down to a table, cut open your head, and take out half of what is in there. I was horrified. That's the most horrific thing for a kid to hear. Half their brain taken out, and you'd never be the same again. But I took that sacrifice, and the Lord indeed delivered me. Yet, I celebrated those 6 years of seizure freedom Wednesday because of the Lord. I wish Angela were here so I could go over the song with her that we used to sing. A lot of you guys probably remember this. Give me faith like Daniel in the lion's den. Give me hope like Moses in the wilderness. Give me a heart like David. Lord, be my defense. So that I can face my giants with, what's the last word there? Confidence. Confidence. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the confidence. Say confidence. Faith is the confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Speaking of David, in our little song there, he wrote in Psalm chapter 23, verse 4, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me, your rod and your staff protect me and comfort me. This is exactly what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thinking in a time like this. They knew not to fear because the Lord was close to them and would protect them. That's called being faithful and trusting the Lord. That's exactly the same attitude they had there, and we should have the same attitude. God is bigger than the trials we face. He's bigger than our fears, our sins, our worries, our temptations. We're in the presence of the Lord. All those things are gone. And when trusting him, he can certainly save you and deliver you. Just like what he did 6 years ago. Don't endanger your application by letting your society, don't endanger your application by letting social media or your boss, your teachers, your friends, your coworkers, your leaders, don't endanger your application by letting your society force you to deny your own faith. Late theologian R.J. Rushdoony quoted, theology belongs in the pulpit, the workplace, the school, the family, and everywhere. In addition to that, let's listen up here because this is important. He said, society as a whole is weakened when theology is neglected. Without a systematic application of theology, too often people approach the Bible with a smorgasbord mentality, picking and choosing what pleases them. What I think Rushdoony was trying to say is that without application, life would be permissible. We'd be lost. We'd be living in darkness, far too distant from the Lord. We'd be deserving of eternal punishment. Hell would be our destiny. We all know if life were fair to us, we'd go around doing whatever we want. We'd not know Jesus. Beware the dangers of application. Guard your application. Beware those dangers. Even feeling forced to deny your own faith. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew 10:33. But everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. What Jesus is trying to say here is that when he comes before God on the day of judgment, he will vouch for anyone who embraces him as their Savior. But on the contrary, Jesus will refuse to acknowledge to God anyone who denies Christ to other men. This passage here, Matt 10:33, makes it seem that anyone who denies their faith will be lost. Hebrews 11:6 tells us, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Our God is a sovereign King. He's greater than our leaders. He's greater than our teachers. He's the name above all names. The God of our past, our present, and our future. He writes our story and makes all things work together for our future and for our good. He doesn't let anyone take the pen from His hand. He will never, ever, ever, ever take away our hallelujahs. So here's my question to you. Would you make this sacrifice? When you're in the fire, what do you choose? Do you choose faith or fear? I'll give you the answer in a minute. So here's my message to you. Do not let the opinion of man tear down the walls of your faith, because our faith in Jesus is what makes a man righteous. God is real. His love for us is undeniable, unconditional, uncontainable. So many of you here are fearless followers of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Don't you ever change that. Don't you ever, ever, ever change that. And most importantly, remember to remain confident, hopeful, and faithful, just as the Lord always is. You know He's the light in the darkness, another in the fire. Put your faith out of fear. Without Him, we'd be nothing. Without Him, we'd be dying. Without Him, how lost we would be. Life ain't ever the same without Jesus. Plain and simple. So let's close in prayer, if you would. Our good, gracious Father, we can't go any more without saying You are good. We come here to glorify You and exalt You now into heavens. Let Your glory fill this place, because You're the name above all names. And who are we to deny what You have done? Pray that revival will fill the air, and that we place our faith and trust in You. We stand on solid ground. You strengthen our faithfulness and trust in You, that You are the ultimate provider, redeemer, deliverer. Pray that one day peoples and nations of every language will one day bow before the King of Kings, singing holy, 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 singing out, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. We place our faith and trust in You, because You are awesome in power. We place our faith over fear. In Jesus' name, amen.